That's too big, Mom.
Then make it small. Focus on my voice. Pretend it's an island out in the ocean. Can you see it?
Da 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 da!
So, Lehu, you know how people kept saying, you know what, they should have called Iron Man 2, Iron Man 2 blowing shit up, whatever? Nah, I think it's safe to say that, you know, they should have called this movie Man of Steel blowing shit up. Because, goddamn, everything gets blown up. Everything gets
right.
blown up in here.
Zack Snyder, you know what? I never hope Zack Snyder becomes a terrorist because that man's mind is as dangerous as Michael Bay's.
I bet Michael Bay watched this and said, oh my god, the destruction level is off the charts. I gotta work with him now. he called him right up and said, I just finished filming Transformers 4, but that movie didn't have a plot. I can throw it out just to have you on. Please.
Right.
I'll suck your dick for this.
Michael Bray probably looked at this and went, well, shit, dude, I didn't kill this many people.
No, you know what he said? At least in my movie, there wasn't people in the cars.
Oh.
Jesus Christ, man. You don't have... At least there wasn't a dog in the car, you animal abuser.
I didn't fucking destroy two planets, you asshole.
Yeah, exactly. What a dick move, dude. Whatever. And you know what? He's going to fuck up Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles now. He's going to be like, you know what?
Everything goes. Oh, don't make me think about that.
He's going to be like, Michelangelo, instead of having them goddamn blades you got two pistols.
Jesus. If that happens, I'm going to his door with a bat.
I tried to make it like Man of Steel, baby. You got laser eyes, Donatello. Laser eyes. That's where it starts.
Michael Bay, you do this. I'm honest. I'm being honest with you, Michael Bay. If you steal anything from this movie for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, your address is online. And you know, your ass is grass.
I know he threw this out the plot or whatever of his Ninja Turtles, but you remember when he said that they were going to be aliens or whatever? He could have went the way of Man of Steel with that.
So instead of making me want to hate my job, let's actually talk about Man of Steel.
So the plot here, whatever. We're going to go through B's plot here, but the story takes place on Krypton where it's on its last legs. Jor-El, played by the great and beautiful Russell Crowe. I thought I'd never be saying that. I thought that'd be done with saying that or whatever. But he plays Superman father, of course. He's the guy saying, hey, we need to do something about this goddamn situation because our plan's about to be destroyed. But, of course, Kryptonians are dicks.
Yep.
Dust does nothing. So Jor-El and his wife stick their son, Kal-El, played by Henry Cavill. Cavill or Cavill?
Cavill.
Cavill. In a rocket and send him to Earth. Meanwhile, General Zod, played by Michael Shannon, disagrees with the ways of Jor-El, ends up killing him, and they send Zod to the Phantom Zone.
Doesn't right, he revolts. Kal-El. He revolts against the Kryptonian government, so they send him to the Phantom Zone. Which, can I say something here real quickly? If I may make a nerd interjection. So, this is a DC space universe, and this is a planet in crisis. Where the fuck are the Green Lanterns? Shouldn't they be all over this shit?
I don't think that's a nerd intervention because that's actually going to be one of my problems in the movie as far as here. Because, yeah, the Green Lantern Corps is a sector in this planet because I remember reading an issue or whatever where they did service this area. So something like this to where fucking Zod could do this, whatever. Yeah, I think the Green Lantern Corps would have been all over this shit. They'd have been looking like that. I would have been like,
right,
I called it 2718. Get your ass down there.
Right. You know, I understand that everyone's trying to forget the Green Lantern movie, including everyone on the production team of this, but... Yeah,
I could see that too, whatever, but I completely 100% agree with you on that, whatever. Hell, why not throw Shaq and Steel in there while you at it too?
Oh!
You can see his black ass burn up into space or whatever. I'd love to see that. So, you know, some of the things, the first thing I gotta say what I liked about the film, though, is the fucking casting.
Yes.
The casting in this is amazing. This is the best thing this film does is the casting. My God, the casting is just perfect. Russell Crowe, I felt as if he was the real Superman, because the way they portray him in the beginning of the film was like a James Bond meets Michael Fassbender from X-Men First Class type style he had going on, and I was just like, Russell Crowe, my God, you still can't act.
Right. And you could have been Superman back in the day.
Yeah, when watching this, I was just like, if only you were a little bit younger, shaved that beard off, and didn't play his father in this movie or whatever. I could see that in this movie, honestly, or whatever.
I think another thing that should be said is that, you know, we're saying that he dies early in the film. That doesn't mean he's out.
Yeah, Russell Crowe said, what's my role in the movie? You play his father, but your planet gets destroyed, and you only end the movie for like half a bit. And he just looked at him and said, do you bloody know who I am? I'm Russell Crowe. I'll throw a phone book at you, mate.
Right. Don't talk to me like that, you vagina.
Yeah, I fight around the world, okay?
So, after Henry Cavill gets, Kal-El, Superman, gets sent to the Earth, we then start to get the pieces of his of how he grew up. Superman then goes down to Earth, and we start to get the pieces of his origin story. And the reason that this is interesting to bring up, because this is a part of the movie that's actually really well done.
Oh, yeah. The first hour of this film, I just looking at this like, this is incredible right here, whatever. I was like, I love this part of Superman right here. And then the next hour kicked in, I said, wow, you really just... You went that way, didn't you? Okay.
Wow. Here's what it was. Okay, I went into this movie with a checklist. Because as we all know, Zack Snyder did fucking Sucker Punch.
Yeah, but he's done some good things as well.
I know. But I'm just going off. Sucker Punch was his whole creative, like, my magnum opus idea is Sucker Punch.
So I actually haven't gave Zack Snyder shit or whatever on this or whatever, because I said he's a hit and miss or whatever, so I was like, I'll give him a chance or whatever. So Sucker Punch was shit or whatever, but I've seen worse shit or whatever from most of the people that's been on that's like working on this film.
Right. So I went into a checklist with what everything that Zack Snyder did wrong with Sucker Punch. First hour of the movie, he fixed all those problems.
Yeah, he fixed all of his problems from all of his bad movies, actually.
Oh, yeah, he did.
I was about to say, because that first half of the movie, I've never... Krypton?
Back beautiful. On
one, Krypton was amazing. I said, wow, now this is what you do when you create a new world. You take me out of my seat and you place me in that world. I felt as if I was there with them. The scenes with Russell Crowe and because this is about a good maybe 10 minutes in the film, whatever, that you see all of this going on, whatever, and I said...
I'd say 20.
Maybe even 20, yeah. Krypton looked amazing or whatever. I was just like, wow. What? After Earth, you can go fuck yourself, honestly.
I was just like, wow. Why didn't they hire him for Green Lantern again?
Good point right here or whatever, because I said, this would have been actually good or whatever. But I'm glad you keep bringing up Green Lantern, because I got something to say about that with Green Lantern. We're actually going to make a little comparison here.
I actually, you know what? I think I know what you're going to bring up, but...
Cinematography? Oh my God, it's beautiful. Which added a lot to the beginning of the film as far as, like, the emotion and dramatic scenes or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, there was barely any of the score going on or whatever, and all you hear is Russell Crowe, Michael Shannon doing their thing or whatever, which I gotta say, Michael Shannon, man, he comes in there, he's just like, as they're arresting him, he just comes in and be like, he's all calm. I'll find him. Don't you worry. I will find him. I will find him! I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that was their kneel before Zod moment that they had to sneak in there.
And that's actually, I gotta say, one of the disappointing things about Michael Shannon as playing a General Zod. You have Michael Shannon, let him play Michael Shannon, whatever. As General Zod is, whatever, General Zod is Michael Shannon, in my opinion, whatever.
Right.
And I think he did that perfect. Not to say he did a bad job in here, whatever. But I don't think his lines or anything was as memorable as the original General Zod.
No, they, you know, the only thing they let loose was his evil eyes, but...
I mean, you know what? I think CG let loose on that.
I love how...
Did that brother look like a fish sometimes? I thought he was Aquaman.
I thought it was so funny how in one fight scene they covered his head up, and I was like, why would they Oh, wait, I know why they're doing it.
As soon as they took that helmet out, that brother was looking side to side. And was, I was like, wow, he really does have superpowers. That Earth Sun fucked him up. I was like, apparently only Henry Cavill got the best out of this little trick here.
Right. So, but what I love about the origin story is that the origin story, you know, it takes the stuff from Krypton and does it really well. And it also takes the stuff from Ma and Pa Kent and does it really well.
It does it really well. Now, one thing I will say about this, and this is a personal problem I have with it, too. I don't even think it's necessarily a film or whatever. But a personal problem I have with it, I don't like how it was shot as far as, like, how we see after the whole Krypton being blown up, we see Henry Cavill working on a ship, and then it's going back, and then he has a flashback. Then we get back to him in 33, because he's 33 years old in the movie. We get back to him in 33, then we see a flashback, and I was just like, those flashbacks were so good that I wish that was the movie instead of just being a flashback, because like you said, his parents play such a great part in the movie, whatever. I was just like, I would have rather seen him growing up to be that. I was like, at 33, I was like, God damn, what the hell have you been doing with your life?
Well, I mean, I understand fully why they did it. I mean, it was something different. It was a way to switch it up. I actually really liked it, how they did that.
Well, like I said, it was a personal problem, because I thought that those flashbacks were just so good that it should have been a movie itself, whatever, which would have just been like, you know what? Fuck all those other origin stories right here. This is where the emotion hits or whatever and shit. And I thought they kind of just like amped that to have like see more shots of Henry Cavill saying nothing, because he barely has any dialogue in the movie.
Well, I mean, something that those flashbacks, you know, when you see the interaction, especially between Kevin Costner and the kid, they're just damn heartbreaking.
Yeah, exactly. I thought those were really good. I was like, okay, and the whole point of like, with the bus shot or whatever, and the mother coming over freaking out, whatever. We saw Clark do that, whatever. I wanted to see him as a young boy and have like a quick little, I don't know, something like how they did in Spider-Man 1 or whatever, when he got his powers or whatever, and you see him like kind of in a montage doing that or whatever. I kind of wanted to see that kind of format of it or whatever.
That they didn't go that route, though, because that's what every other superhero movie has done.
But it is done that way, but I didn't care for the way it was shot like that, as far as like seeing the flashback. If it would only did it in such a minimal amount, then I wouldn't have minded so much. But since they just kept doing it after scene after scene, I was just like, all right. Now it's almost becoming convoluted in a way.
I just thought it was so funny where after the bus scene, where the kid was like, what was I supposed to do? Let them all die? And Kevin Costner's like, well, yeah.
It sounded like he was about to cry as he said it. He's like, maybe.
it's like that thing where he was like one step like above, like, I don't mean to steal a joke, but it's 100% true. He's one step above. What was I supposed to do? Let him die? Yeah, fuck him.
Yeah. No, you know what? I thought Ving Rhames should have been in the movie. There's people that hear that need your help, sir. Fuck y'all. Yeah, Ving Rhames should have been his father. There you go.
Right, but it leads to a very, very critical, and this is the most critical out of all the origin scenes, and this is where it makes sense for me why at 33 he was still trying to discover himself. Is he, they get into a tornado, and,
and you Clark, don't see this scene until later in the film, right, by the way, too.
Clark and his father, like an hour to get here. Yeah, Clark and his father are trying to help as many people as possible, and a dog gets stuck in a car, and instead of,
their dog, by the way.
Yeah, instead of Clark going to get the dog, the dad goes, and when the dad gets caught in the tornado, he tells Clark to stay, and he does, because he trusts his father. And his father dies, and it's, you know, it's damn heartbreaking.
Oh, it is heartbreaking, whatever. And you say it get critical. I thought they should have showed that. Like, that's why I said I thought that the way they shot that was, I wasn't a fan of it, because I was like, yeah, it took almost an hour and 10 minutes just for it to hit this part where we found that out now, whatever. And I was like, wow, now all the pieces are coming together, this or whatever. And as far as me saying that, whatever, because in the beginning of the film, I thought it was emotional, brilliant almost at times, whatever. And then we get halfway to the film after that scene you just described, and I said, wow, what a way to pick this up after that now.
Yeah. That's... People, we'll be honest. I know for a lot of people, kind of me included, at least emotionally, that's where the film peaks.
Where?
At when Pa Kent dies.
Ah.
Emotionally, that's where the film peaks. Now, this is where, after this moment, is where critics, including myself and P1, have been divided. Mm-hmm. Because then, Zack Snyder cracks his knuckles, goes right to a computer, and goes, we're gonna blow the fuck out of everything.
Yeah, and this is where I'm gonna say, where Green Lantern, I thought the effects in Green Lantern looked better than this.
What?
That CG looked like shit. I'm sorry. I didn't like any of the fight scenes in this or whatever when I saw that or whatever. I was like, I know why they stuck a red cape on him now, because that's the only thing you can see. It's bad when you watch a movie that's actually good or actually even brilliant at the beginning or whatever, and then goes down to a Transformers meet Dragon Ball Z style. And getting to the negative now, since I've already gave my positive what I've liked or whatever, because I felt like, well, it's hard for me to get the words out, but I felt like they crammed too much in this movie as if they were making the third film in the series, or as if Supergirl and the Justice League should have been in here.
Uh-oh.
And because of that, it hopelessly got convoluted a little bit.
You know what? I'm with you and not with you on that, because unlike you, I thought the CG was fine. I thought the fight scenes were actually done pretty well for the most part.
Yeah, that's fine.
Huh?
If you see what was going on, right?
For the most part. No, there are some moments, and I'll get into it. Like, the last one, I completely agree with you.
Because that shit was shaky cam like a motherfucker.
Yeah. The first scene, actually, in Smallville, though, I actually really liked that fight scene a lot.
That fight scene in Smallville, here's where my complaint for that one comes, whatever, because I actually, I'm going to be 50-50 with you on that for that one. This movie is so fucking long that I had time to notice little shit, like, I don't know, but when Superman first fight in Smallville, the fucking background extras take their sweet ass time staring and looking before they running into their homes and stores and shit like that, whatever, and to the point I was just like, these people obviously don't give a shit because they're too goddamn stupid, or the director was just too damn stupid to tell these extras how to do their fucking job or whatever and be terrified and running in your place as soon as you see three aliens land out of nowhere and they're blowing shit up already. I mean, one of the aliens
throwing trains at each other.
Literally, one of the fucking aliens comes flying in after getting punched or something like that. So, I mean, that doesn't fucking terrify you or whatever.
Right.
And once again, that fight scene didn't mind or whatever. But it wasn't even, like, towards the end. That was, like, a good, hour and 30 minutes into the film, whatever. It goes on for another hour and drags on. Because this fight scene doesn't end, because it ends with Michael Shannon pretty much picking them up. And then they just disappear, and then the movie slows back down to build back up. And I was just like, all right, by this point, whatever, I was like, okay, I'm getting exhausted by this time now. Okay, y'all need to hurry up and wrap this up now.
Here's the reason why I really like the fight scene in Smallville. Now, this goes back to the point that you and I have been making for months about how we don't give a shit about Superman because we feel like he's indestructible.
Mm-hmm.
This fight...
of the movie.
Huh?
This is what you're about to bring up is one of my favorite parts of the movie, actually.
This fight scene shows Superman getting his shit rocked.
Well, because he's fighting people with the same amount of power.
Right. And that's the thing that really makes this movie believable is that you actually do get a sense that these guys could easily kill Superman if they want to.
I didn't get that, but I thought the fight was even, so it's a fair fight.
Right, and that's the thing. All the fights in this movie, it's not Superman just being like, well, fuck you, I can win. It's Superman like, well, fuck you, I can BAM!
Yeah. Until it got to the end, and then I kind of went, yeah.
They tried to make it even. I'll give them that. They tried.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and that's where I will give my biggest credit to, whatever, because like you said, we've been talking about this for months. I did a Superman special, that was our biggest complaint, whatever, and I thought how they handled it, whatever, I was like, good for them. And one other positive thing I will have to say, even though I have a lot of problems with the film, whatever, I'm actually amped to see a sequel just because they set up a lot of Brainiac traits in here.
They did? Oh, God, now thinking about it, they did.
Oh, yeah, all the Kryptonian technology and everything that was in here, I was just like, hey, there goes your fucking sequel right there, whatever. I'm actually interested in seeing that or whatever. And hopefully they fix some of the shit that was a script problem there, because the script, I have more problems with this movie as far as technical wise than I do as far as acting. I thought the acting here was fucking brilliant. I think that script, David S. Goyer, I think he just went to shit with that, honestly, or whatever. Just like he almost did with Dark Knight Rises, to be honest. Because, wow, did that script just take a fucking nosedive down to hell. You got Henry Cavill, whatever his damn name is, actually. I thought, honestly, he played a believable Superman. I looked at that and was like,
He did great.
What was that?
He did great.
He has the look down to a peg, whatever, as far as being Superman. I was just like, and I don't know why everybody's ripping on the costume. This is where actually I'm going to disagree with some of the other. The costume looks awesome, I got to say.
I also like the fact that Cavill really does play up the fact that Superman is a guy who follows the rules and does what he needs to do. He's honestly, I felt the same way watching Cavill as I did when I watched Chris Evans play Captain America.
And you know where I'm going to disagree with you on that one is because I feel like this movie is a snowball effect or whatever. They set so much shit up like that or whatever, and then that shit just drops halfway through the film. Because, like Le Husay, they called Michael Bay and teamed up with him to destroy this whole fucking city. And Henry Cavill, Superman, is literally throwing fucking villains into fucking tanks of gasoline and shit like that, blowing up towns or whatever and shit. He has no cry for humanity whatsoever in that whole scene or whatever. They literally, I swear to God, it became almost a goddamn joke when they literally destroyed a whole fucking city that was in ruins. And you see General Zod still in front of Superman and Lois comes down for a fucking kiss. I said, you have got to be fucking kidding me. They tried to set up something emotional, and then they just dropped it like that. I was like, wow, because this is one of my main problems with it, and I've talked to, after the screen, whatever, I've talked to like five other critics from Collider, Movie Critic, and all that stuff like that, and so, and we was just going over this one scene, which is like, Lois Lane was actually fucking useless in this film, whatever. How many movies have you seen where a main female heroine character, or whatever, from a comic book, feels like they should have been taken out of the movie, and the movie would have been probably even better with her because they crammed and crowbarred her in with this sick-ass love interest.
Here's the thing. I was just going to ask you how you felt about Amy Adams and Christopher Maloney in the movie.
I thought they... Like I said, I have no problem with the acting. Whatever. Their acting is on par or whatever.
I thought Maloney did a great job as the...
Amy Adams does a phenomenal job as Lois Lane or whatever. But they have nothing for her to do except, Lois Lane, let me just say, wow, I've never seen a female character in a superhero movie to be so crowbarred in a movie because, damn, her and Clark have, like, no romantic chemistry whatsoever. It felt as if they said, people already know about these two. Let's just do the Transformers method and blow shit up. That way, no one will notice that these two had no romantic interest, but Lois loves them for the sake of the Superman, beloveds and stuff like that, whatever. Just for the Superman rules and shit like that. We have to crowbar her in there, whatever. Because there are scenes in there, whatever, when I was looking like, wow, Henry Cavill really has no interest in her whatsoever. And yet they make time to make out in front of a villain fight that he's about to have, thus possibly destroying her. Lawrence Fishburne's in here. He's fucking another amazing actor in here. The two scenes he's in is awesome. And then we get to a scene where... pretty much the city of Metropolis is destroyed, yet we see only the three people from Daily Planet that survived this. The only reason why they survive is because it fits the story well, because they're main characters or whatever. I can't stand that shit in movies. That shit irritates the fuck out of me or whatever, because it's just convenient and it has to be that way or whatever.
Well, I gotta ask you, what'd you think of the ending in terms of Superman and his character? And I'm not talking about the direct ending. I'm talking about the ending with Zod.
You know what? I hear a lot of mixed reactions on this one as well, whatever. Like, Superman's... Because what happens here is... Oh, excuse me, whatever. After the whole Lois Lane kiss, whatever, General Zod and Superman go out to a fight, and they get to a scene where pretty much Superman is got his arms wrapped around his neck, and he's General Zod's using this laser beam, and he's gonna pretty much laser beam these innocent people, a daughter, a son, another guy, and this woman or whatever. And he's yelling out, no, don't do it. He snaps his neck or whatever. And a part of me was like, Superman's not supposed to kill us, now he does it. But a part of me is going like, this is movie logic, and you can't lock this guy up in prison. I mean...
Yeah, and that's honestly how I felt about it, too. Because I was like, you know, there is that golden rule where Superman, he's like Batman. He doesn't kill. And it's not because of Batman where he feels like he has a moral obligation. It's because Superman's like, if I kill, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, that's actually more Batman, actually, more than...
Oh, Superman. Yeah, actually, you know what, that's a good point. Superman's more like, look, I have an image to pertain, I can't kill.
Yeah, Superman's whole thing is just like, if I kill, people will think I'm misusing my powers or whatever, when I'm really here for the good, and they actually put that in here or whatever, and when I saw that, I was just kind of like... And you know what pissed... Honestly, the killing part didn't suck, because like I said, it's movie logic. It's like, what are you going to do with him? You know what I mean? You just can't have him like in a jail cell with all these fucking powers or something like that. So I was just like, go ahead, kill him. Let's see how that ends on the second film. What pissed me off about that scene is fucking Lois Lane comes out of nowhere and they kiss again or whatever. I'm just like, where the fuck did she come from after these two have been flying around the whole damn city, beating the shit out of each other, whatever, and she just the only person in this whole building now after General Zod just tried to laser beam, like, four people right there, whatever. They're gone now, whatever. But Lois Lane's the only one that comes down, and they just mistakenly kiss together. I'm just like, wow, she...
I guess, like, the only thing that I have left to say is that I do like how the movie ends. And like you, I do like how the movie sets itself up for sequels. Could it be Could it be Lex Luthor? Yes, there was a little Lex Luthor Easter egg that I caught. I don't know if you did.
Yeah, it was the truck that General Zod threw.
Right. You know, there's little Easter eggs for Lex Luthor. I didn't catch the Batman one that everyone's been talking about.
I'm actually glad that they didn't have Lex Luthor in the film, whatever. They didn't play him out so much, whatever. But I'm glad they had that Easter egg. And they can introduce him in the next one, whatever. But the next one, I mean, obviously, like I said, I've been talking to Chris about this, whatever. We've all come to the conclusion that there's no other choice but Brainiac at this point with all those goddamn clues they had in this movie, whatever.
And if that's the route they go, good for them.
Yeah, good for them, whatever. And I like I said, even though I've been giving the movie shit, I'm actually excited to see a sequel or whatever. I want to see where they go with it, because if it's staying in the Kryptonian knowledge world and everything like that, I'm more power for that, because I actually love the Kryptonian scenes in this, where I was blown away. I was just like, that's how you do it when you create other planets. You take your imagination and run wild with it. You create things that like are human-like, but they're kind of like not human-like, whatever, if that makes any sense, whatever. They're a hybrid of a human thing that we've seen to something that's like, what the hell is that, or whatever.
Right, flying dragons.
I was like, Game of Thrones, that's right.
I was just like, that was like where he's like, come on, flying dragon. I was like, oh no, Sucker Punch, shit.
You know what I said? I'm not gonna lie. I said, give Russell Crowe that goddamn thing from Aquaman, that little spear he has, whatever. Make him Aquaman. When I saw that, I was just like, make him a superhero in DC somehow.
Yeah, that's what I was like, too. I was like, hey, DC, you are doing that Justice League movie.
Man, I'm not gonna lie. I love Russell Crowe, whatever. There's been some movies where I've been like, ah, whatever. But I've never gave Russell Crowe too much shit. I always made fun of him, whatever, and shit. But after seeing this, I was just like, I'm waiting for your next project, brother. I was like, because you know, it was almost hard to go with Henry Cavill after seeing what Russell Crowe did as far as being super. Because I was just like, I see who my Superman is. He's right here, whatever. And at times, I was just like, where's Russell Crowe at, whatever. But then, you know, Henry Cavill, he still sells it as being Superman. But I was just kind of thinking like, if only, though, Russell Crowe.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you and I kind of differ on this, because you were way more critical of the fight scenes than I was.
Oh, yeah. I hated the CG and the shaky cam. I was just like, wow. How bad is it when I'm thinking about Transformers? If I'm thinking about Transformers, you pissed me off, whatever. If I think about, which I just saw recently, I don't know why, whatever, Green Lantern, when I said, wow, the effects in that one, actually, the CG looks better in this than it does in Superman, whatever. And the part where the whole goddamn city is destroyed and people are dying because of Superman, for that matter, or whatever and shit, which, honestly, almost just like, wow, he has no... People made fun of the Avengers saying that, oh, like, I didn't get to see nobody die in that movie or whatever. And I hear people saying, oh, this is better than the Avengers than Dark Knight. This is like if you put those two movies together. I'm looking at them. I want to find that person and slap the shit out of them, honestly, or whatever. Because I was like, wow, you have no idea what the fuck you're talking about, whatever.
Right. But no, I'm with you on that.
In this movie, you literally see people getting murdered, except for the main characters. You got scenes like the military people taking Lois Lane for some godly reason on the plane with her, even though they know that this is a life or death mission. They're taking a civilian with...
They actually explain that. They do.
They explain it to the point where it's just like, what, did she need to be the one?
Good point.
It's not one of those. It was like, well, they could have... Honestly, they could have got anyone to do it, because after you see what they do, you're just like, anyone could have did that now.
Well, it's more the fact that, remember when they get on Zod's ship, she is the one who finds the hologram of Jor-El, and Jor-El explains to her how to get rid of Zod.
Yeah, but he just gives her the codex, and I'm just like, anyone could have did that, honestly.
Right.
There's no way in hell a military personnel would take her and be like, that's all we have to do? We'll handle this from here, man, whatever. It's even to the point where you see a scene before they even get taken on that ship, the guy's like, hey, you just wanted the alien. You don't take one of ours, whatever. Even though they have no interest in Lois Lane whatsoever, whatever. One of the military guys doesn't even like her. They get into an argument in the beginning of the film, whatever. So it's like, obviously he cares about his safety of his people, whatever. So why the fuck would he bring her on a mission like this?
Right. So, what would you give it?
We have after the city gets destroyed, the movie went lighthearted a little bit too with the whole Superman thing and thing. But all the complaints I have, whatever, overall, I still say like this is probably one of the most. It is very different from any other Superman film. Probably taking some storylines from one and two original Supermans, whatever. One other thing, they play the fuck out of that score because like the hour that fight starts, whatever and shit, they play that shit through the whole goddamn the rest of the thing, which I actually liked. But I was like, man, subtlety is your word, brother. Subtlety is.
I mean, it's a Superman movie, and they're trying to say, hey, we're not John Williams. So
and that's why I complained about that. I was like, they didn't have to play. I know why they played it, because they wanted it to be as iconic as that John Williams. But it's not iconic. It's good. It's actually pretty good.
I think it's really good, actually. I really liked it.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. But if you want to keep beating me over the head just because you want to bring me back to the John Williams, like, hey, isn't this iconic too? It's like, okay, come on now. It doesn't make any damn sense that we're seeing two CG people, which obviously look CG. You can tell that shit from right away or whatever.
Right.
Playing this theme song in the background. All the complaints I had, though, whatever, I gotta say, I enjoyed the movie, whatever, much better than I expected, whatever. There's a lot of flaws in that goddamn script, whatever. I think what saves me from giving it a lower rating is actually the performances in here, because the performances, rather or not, the characters did anything or not or whatever, I thought the performances was what really held this movie together, whatever. And it's sad that the fucking script is what was holding them back, whatever. I'm going to give this like a low seat at high rent area, seat at matinee or whatever, because I saw it in 3D IMAX. Don't waste your fucking money on extra on that or whatever. It, honestly, because this, like Leilu said earlier, this is the dividing, this is a continuation of summer film dividing people or whatever, and this is another one where you might get pissed off at the ending, at the beginning, I mean, the ending of the film after seeing this brilliant beginning to it.
Right. I'm right there with you. I'm going to give it a low seat just because I did enjoy the first fight scene. I did enjoy all the stuff in the beginning. I think the stuff with the origin story is brilliant. And I think the first fight scene's pretty cool if you don't look too hard into it. I think, though, after that first fight scene, I'm like you, where it's like, okay, this can wrap itself up. And then you're right. The third fight scene after the Lois Lane kiss is it's pointless.
I literally laughed in the theater when I saw it, because I was just like, wait, Zod is in front. Get her out of the way, dude.
Yeah.
It reminded me of so many other superhero movies I just didn't like, whatever. Like The Amazing Spider-Man is one, whatever, where he just constantly kept putting people in danger and harm's way, whatever. And I was just like, oh my God, dude, this is not you.
Yeah. My whole thing was just like, it was so funny. Like, the whole city's decimated. He looks over Lois Lane. He's like, how you doing?
Come here, baby. Give me a smooch on the cheek.
You know, you never kissed an alien. You're never going back.
Jenny Olsen, not Jimmy. Jenny Olsen, you might catch that or whatever, is in the...
Right!
Yeah, exactly. Jenny Olsen or whatever, and some other guy or whatever, they just watch in the shadows, whatever. They're the only three survivors, apparently, which is fucking hilarious because, like I say, like Lawrence Fishburne is fucking awesome in the movie, but they never developed his character to the point of what he does in that last act of the film, whatever. I was just like, wow, that came out of nowhere, but... More of a letdown when what I saw, whatever. Not that I had any high hopes in the movie, whatever. It's just that first hour, I was just in a trance. Like, wow, this is, even with the personal problem I had of it on, or the way it was shot or whatever, I mean, that didn't take me out of the movie to the point. I was just like, oh, I wish they would have did it this way, more like. So I was still enjoying it, but I was just loving that hour. And then when I saw that, I was just like, oh, you really had to go down this way? I mean, all this shit going on or whatever, are you... You save this for the third film or a Justice League film. You don't blow your load too quickly like this.
Uh-huh. No, I agree. I think the difference between you and I with this is just I had, you know, we've been talking about it for weeks. I have not had high expectations for this.
We've been talking about it for months.
Actually, yeah, let's take that back. You're right. We've been talking about this for months where I don't care about Superman, and I could not give two craps about this movie, but it did well. It did well, in my opinion. It didn't do amazing. It didn't do Batman Begins, Dark Knight. It did okay.
Didn't even do the Avengers for me or whatever. If you want to do an ending scene or whatever, as far as like how Alien Invasion or shit like that, whatever, you watch that movie, whatever. It wasn't too long. It's simple story, kept it on the characters, blah, 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 all that stuff, whatever. But this, yeah. So yeah, that's a Man of Steel, Man of Blowing Shit Up is what I want to call him.
Yeah, Man of Steel. Now we got the rest of this summer, and
actually, this might be the last. Before we go,
you gonna keep going on, Mr. Buzzard?
No, I fucked that up. I know. I'm sorry.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
If the world found out who I really was, it'd reject me. He was convinced that the world wasn't ready. What do you think?